Twelve-Worldian Tausch begins now. With Gabe Neitzel as our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs, we believe in better. As a national radio host, along with the work that you do on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy every weekday, how do you think things have gone today so far?
Oh, things have been great. I always love filling in on this show. Moving topic to topic. We probably went a little heavy on the games in hour two there. Could have spread those out maybe a little bit.
Okay. Do we have someone for tomorrow, by the way, or are we going to be asking Gabe if he's available?
Breaking news into the Wilde and Tausch news desk. Thanks to their elimination in the Big East opening round of the conference tournament last night at Madison Square Garden, Homer will be back and ready to go with us tomorrow as the cousin sub of the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would not have been available. I've got Clinton and friends tomorrow, so
Cool. Wow. So now, you're so awesome with all your national shows. That's awesome.
You're the worst. You're just the worst. We encourage you to listen to us instead of Gabe.
You know, you could have sold Homer a little better there. You could have been a little, oh, great, Homer's coming back. I'm looking forward to that.
I'll be honest, I thought you were setting me up for a big surprise that Brian Bulaga, who has that big member guest golf tournament, was somehow going to be available because we're always smarter because of Brian. And I thought maybe you had some sort of big surprise. You're the one who sold it as breaking news.
Yeah, it just came across our desk here in the last few minutes that Homer is available.
Why, did they lose this morning?
They lost last night.
That game was last night,
wasn't
it?
We had to figure out when he was getting back and what his day looked like, you know?
Mm. He's not sleeping in the doorway of Madison Square Garden with his McDonald's. All right, well, Homer will be our cousin sub tomorrow, and we do love Homer. I was trying to be funny there. Gabe, we started the show. Well, I mean, we started the show talking about beards, which irritated a few people, apparently. But I thought it was pretty good content. But then we got to Javon Hargrave. So we played our little game with Jesse, you know, tier one, tier two, tier three. We agreed that he's tier two at this point. Had you gotten him when he was, what's the line from Major League about Jake Taylor? Oh, wish we had him 2 years ago then. Well, we did. Well, 4 years ago then.
4 years ago.
He'd be a tier one. When you look at the overall body of work so far, and there's more work to be done. There's obviously the draft in a month, et cetera. But when you look at kind of where this team is, you mentioned the guys coming back from injury. You mentioned how you felt about this team during the Denver game. And you and I are in alignment on that. I bring up that Denver game all the time. It is 23-14, and they have just gotten a turnover, which did not happen very often, by the way, last season.
No.
And Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love get aggressive, and they go up top for the dagger, right? And if that ball carries 2 yards farther, Christian Watson catches it for a touchdown. And now suddenly it's 30-14 against a team, by the way, that was the number one seed in the AFC and had won 10 in a row going into that game. And we're looking at this team completely differently. And instead, Christian Watson leaves the stadium in an ambulance. You mentioned the often overlooked knee injury to Zach Tom. And, of course, the knee injury that ends the season of Micah Parsons, and everything goes to hell in a handbasket thereafter. They never won another game. They went from up 23-14 on the number one seed in the AFC to never winning another game. Oof. That was not ideal. So now that you've seen what they've done, what do you think of where we are today, and what do you still have on your wish list?
I think corner is still on the wish list, but I like what they did so far this offseason because I think three things were kind of circled, Jason. Okay, what are you doing at offensive line? What are you going to be doing at interior on the defensive line? And what are you doing at cornerback? And they addressed all three of those to varying levels, whether it's, you know, on the offensive line, adding Darian Kennard, so he's your swing tackle, Sean Ryan's your starting center, still need depth. on the defensive tackle side, you're going, okay, we've got our starters. We've got Wyatt. We've got Hargrave now. You need some depth. And maybe you could use a starter, depending upon what's available to you in the second round in the draft. But what they've done is they're not locked into one position, right? If they didn't sign Javon Hargrave, you're going, they better be taking a defensive tackle in the second round, because otherwise, I don't know what that's going to look like. Well, now you just need depth. Offensive line, you need depth. Corners, you need depth. And you're not going to put the pressure on a second-round corner. Maybe they become a starter, as we saw the Packers do a couple of years ago with the, you know, defensive back position and the way Evan Williams has been able to grow and what we've seen out of Javon Bullard. Like, they've gotten some contributors, you know, pretty early in drafts the last couple of years. But you don't feel like you need any position more than any other one right now. There's no glaring hole. Certainly still need depth at certain positions. And I think corner's probably still the top one where a difference maker could come in and contribute right away. But they've been able to add to this roster and make the draft not feel like it's, all right, you better nail that second and third round pick, and they got to contribute right away, otherwise this team's sunk. It doesn't feel like that to me. Whereas it could have gotten and felt that way had they not made the additions they did.
I'm sure Tausch will miss another show or two, so we'll have more opportunities for you to fill in. But I am very curious what their draft looks like, because they got one compensatory seventh-round pick, and that's the only additional pick they have, right? They did not acquire any picks in trades that are applicable to this year. Next year, in 2027, they'll have the Rashawn Gary pick, and assuming Rashid Walker signs some sort of contract somewhere, theoretically, a fourth compensatory pick. That would be five total additional picks in addition to their own. No first rounder this year, no first rounder next year. It's going to be really interesting, I guess, 2 days instead of three. Although yeah. I'll go to Lambeau just in case on day one of the draft, which will emanate from Pittsburgh when they do it. All right, we need to get ready for Kayla Karius, the head coach of the UW Green Bay women's basketball team. And I'm told that Dan in Brothertown is banned from this segment. We're not going to have him call in and help us conduct the interview. But the small world that is Wisconsin sports, I mean, he started calling the show when Kayla, his daughter-in-law, was at, I think, South Dakota. Who would have thought that she'd be the Horizon League Coach of the Year again? And have her team dancing again. We will talk to her coming up after I tell you about Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. We're going to make one call to Kayla on the Yuengling guest hotline coming up. But one call, that's all if you've been injured in an accident. And look, I hope you never have to make that call. Never, ever. So does David. So does their team. But if you have been injured, you need to make the right call, and that's Gruber Law Offices. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So, Kayla Karius, the UW Green Bay women's head basketball coach, has done something that has potentially never been done before. No, it's not what we're going to talk about coming up. It's the fact that after we couldn't get Chris McIntosh or Greg Gard or anyone over at UW on via video successfully on our program, she's joining us on the Yuengling. Yeah, I blame Jesse personally.
Luke Fickell.
How many times has Luke Fickell been on our show?
A couple of times.
Five or six. I don't think we've ever successfully got him on video.
No, we tried.
But I blame Jesse for all that. And I credit Kayla for being the one who breaks the streak, because she overcame Jesse's ineptitude. Joining us now on the Yuengling Hotline, the Yuengling Guest Hotline, presented by Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America and now officially in Wisconsin, six generations family-owned and operated. DG Yuengling and Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly. It is the head coach of the Horizon League champs. It is Kayla Karius on Wildy and Tausch. Kayla, I think you're best known on this program as Dan and Brother Town's daughter-in-law, but nevertheless, we're happy to have you. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be with you.
Honor is an overstatement, to be sure, but let's use that word and say you were honored as the Horizon League Coach of the Year, which I know you are all about your team. There are a few things I know about you, and one is that you're not going to spend a lot of time talking about you winning that award. But I am trying to figure out, because this was promoted, obviously, as you are the first one ever to both win the Player of the Year award and then win Coach of the Year in the conference. I don't, like, Coach K never won Player of the Year in the ACC. I mean, you may be the greatest player coach in basketball history. Do you think that's a fair description?
No, that's a really bold statement. That probably is not true. And I also don't know how many people I am even in competition with for that award. So all I know is I'm just really grateful. This is the place that I obviously played at and had a million memories made at and gave me my best friends and all the things. And so to be able to come back here and just give back at least half of what I've been given was my goal. So it's been a fun ride.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the one more thing, Gabe, and then I'll let you go. Let's talk a little bit about the ride that you've been on. Last year, you take over a veteran team and you guys were great. This year, you remake your roster and you guys are great again. What has been the secret sauce for you this season that has allowed you guys to do what you've done?
Well, like you said, we did graduate seven after last year's team, really veteran players, players that have been here a long time and understood the success and what made this place great. And then last April, our staff spent a lot of hours in the office working in the transfer portal. I mean, the beauty of the portal now is that you can pick up players that can make an impact right away. And then the curse of it is that there's 1,500 names that you have to sort through and figure out who fits you the best. And you have to do it really quickly. And that was such a challenge. And all of us coaches across the country at every level are still navigating how to do this and how to set your team up best going forward. So I just want to give a shout out to my staff, because that was one of the hardest months on the job I've ever had, because of how fast you have to make decisions and how quickly you need to assemble your roster and take players before the next guy does. And so my staff did a phenomenal job finding the right fit, not just the kid who can score 25 a game, but the kid who can score at a high level and who understands and has experience, but also can sacrifice that for the good of the team. And that's not always easy to find. That takes a lot of phone calls and a lot of figuring out people. I think we did come up with the transfers that had been recruited by Green Bay the first time. So when I call, it's not, do you know where Green Bay, Wisconsin is? It's more like, hey, remember us? You don't even need to take a visit. This is what we're about. Are you looking for a different experience? If so, we want you to come here. And things were, once we got to that point, some of them were done rather quickly because we did find the right fit. And as far as secret sauce, it's just the culture here. The Green Bay way is what keeps us strong year after year. I knew that as a player. I wanted to keep that strong going forward. I think Jenna Geyer, being the lone returner who had any kind of significant playing time last year, a lot of that responsibility fell on her shoulders to keep the culture going the right direction. And she did a phenomenal job. I just think player leadership is always going to be the thing that separates us from other teams. And we have a great group of player leadership this year, too.
So you had the opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament as a player, but last year was your first time going through that as a head coach. What is a lesson that you learned last year that you think you can carry over to this year?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's so different when you're on this side of it. You know, when you're a player, you're just focused on yourself, honestly. And you're at that time in your life where it's just all about you and your teammates, and you never see what your coaches do behind the scenes to get you prepared. So I don't know. As far as lessons learned, you know, it's all about your matchup, which I think is a lot of that is just out of your control at this point. Up until then, you just allow your players to celebrate and enjoy this and then get back in the gym. And then eventually when you figure out who you're – who you're going to play, then the focus becomes on that game plan. And I just think you're getting your players as confident and as ready as possible. I think we have a lot of talent on this year's team, and I think we're playing some really good basketball right now. And knowing you're going to face a very good team no matter who that is. Only 68 teams get in, so you need to be putting your best foot forward right now. Getting them to be at the most confident as possible level right now, I think, is a really key point.
Kayla, when you look at the way I want to go back to how you built this team and how you did it so quickly. How long does it take? Because we see teams, not just yours, but basically every team in both football and basketball at this point, having to do this kind of speed dating thing to find their rosters. I'm curious how long it takes for those players to gel and play like a team, because that's one of the signatures of Green Bay basketball, is you guys, you know, whether it was under Kevin or under you, always play well together. How does that process work, and how long do you have to do it before you start putting yourself in a hole in the standings because you're still trying to figure things out?
Yeah, you're right. It does have to happen really quickly. I think the good news is we have the summer together. I think those 8 weeks that we get as a group in the summer are so, so valuable. And they were before. I think now in the portal world, it's even more so, because you need your players together. You need them gelling early. You need them, honestly, just spending time without our coaches in the gym. Play pickup with each other. Figure out each other's tendencies. At least that's a big part of what we do. We're hands-on as much as we can, but we don't have a lot of time allowed with us per NCAA rules in the summer. So it's getting them together to do activities off the court, to put them in funny situations. Honestly, there are camp counselors, so they're experiencing that together. Just all the time that you get in that off season is incredibly important. That's where we started to see the friendships form a little bit. It was slow going because there were so many new people. And as the summer went on, it got a little better and a little better. But we felt pretty good by the end of summer. We really put out the goal of understanding our offense at a basic level and forming some pretty good friendships. If we can get to that point by the end of summer, we're in a good spot, knowing that we had all fall preseason to continue to practice together, continue to invest time off the floor together. And we knew it was going to take time. We didn't know how long, you know, and of course we always schedule at a really high level in the non-conference too. So we threw some really heavy hitters in there, knowing full well we might not have our identity figured out by that point, but you also can't shy away from it. We need some of those non-conference wins to boost us in case we need the at-large bid. And for seeding purposes, in case we do qualify with the automatic qualifier and still need some help there with the seeding. So we're not going to shy away from tough teams early on, but some of those scores look like they do because we just hadn't quite figured it all out yet. So it's a challenge, but, you know, you're just continuing to invest in each other, preach the Green Bay way, preach our culture. And just at some point, I don't know when it was, it just started to click. And little by little, we just kept getting better. And when you're in it for the team, and we always say program over everything. If you're putting that first, you can't go wrong.
What other challenges exist for a mid-major when you're dealing with the NIL and transfer portal era of college athletics?
Yeah, well, you know, we're in the game, we're competing, we're adapting to that style of recruiting now. We have to. I think you have to adapt or you fall behind quickly. And so we are in the mix with all of that. I just think the challenge, of course, at a mid-major level is the NIL dollars from us compared to any type of Power Four school. And I think that what we've tried to do is keep the emphasis on what a player can achieve here or what they can gain for coming to our program. And that's a great experience. And that might not be more money in your bank account compared to a Power Four school, but that might be experiencing an NCAA tournament, experiencing climbing up a ladder and cutting down a net. That might be just the community and the fan base investing in you and really caring about you, and you having multiple job offers when you graduate from this place, because the whole community wants an athlete and a competitor like you to be a part of their their company and their business. And just having a great overall experience is what we've tried to focus on. And that's the challenge. I do think we're in a different world than football. We're still in a different world than men's basketball. Those dollars are not anything that we're seeing, but it is trickling down, and we are seeing some of it. And I think that, honestly, when we go to the portal last year, when we're going to have to go again this year, we're not looking for the people who call us and say, how much can you offer? I don't want to talk about that first. I want to talk about, you should want to come here, and we should want you because we're the right fit for each other. This place offers so much more than money could ever offer you. And you're going to remember this experience for life. You're going to have your best friends for life. And I just feel like that investment speaks way more than a check that goes into your bank account every month. So again, I go back to, we have to find the right fit. And there are players who are only looking for that. There are also players who are like, I want to come to Green Bay because I know what I can get out of it. Those are the people that we're looking for.
Makes me wish my kids still played basketball when I listen to you talk. So, Kayla, I'm curious. I sat at a game last year with your father-in-law, and behind me a few rows there was a very loud voice that was unhappy with some of the officiating. He was obviously the legendary UWGB coach Kevin Borseth.
Like, either you're going to say Kevin or you're going to say my husband. One of the two.
I will get to Rick in a second. He was in a different section, I believe. But I am curious, what has it been like? I mean, he's obviously, he coached you. He's such a iconic guy in the program. But what's it been like to have him there as kind of a support system? And then he yells at the officials so you don't have to, because he can't get teed up from the stands.
And he still remembers them all by first name. So I think that they can hear him too. So actually, my story goes that I was recruited by Kevin.
Oh, that's right.
I'm from Sheboygan. I had that really, our whole high school conference played in Green Bay. So I had this great connection with the city of Green Bay early on. He would come watch me a lot. And I, as I got to know him, thought, there's nobody else I would rather play for than this guy. And so I commit to him. But my senior year, as I'm getting ready to come here, he takes the Michigan job. So you kind of get stuck in like, well, am I still going to go there? And they don't have a coach. And I wasn't highly recruited. It's not like I had a lot of options. But you're kind of on hold for a little bit. Then they hire Coach Ballant. And Matt calls me, have a good conversation. I come up here and meet him. And I'm on board. I mean, Green Bay was the place for me. I can't imagine going anywhere else at that point. So I played for Matt for all my 4 years. And that's what I think makes it even more interesting, because I obviously had the desire to go to Green Bay and play for Kevin. And I had always admired his work, and I'd always admired just the person that he was and his knowledge of the game and everything. So he, after 5 years, returns to Green Bay, and we kept in touch. We saw each other out on the road recruiting. It was a great relationship the whole way through. And I had watched his retirement press conference too. And then maybe an hour later, my phone rings and it's Kevin. And I'm like, oh boy, something's happening here. And we start to have these conversations of the Green Bay job. I'm thrilled that he's still around and invested. It was a pretty early on conversation after I accepted the job of saying, me telling him, I want you around as much as you want to be around. Now we had to figure that out the first few months. I mean, he is retired, so he does have the option and the freedom to go hunting and fishing, and he should. It's well deserved after all the time he's put in. And he has 3 grandkids now, and his kids are close. He needs to go and do that, but he is very active with us still. He's watching film. He is at practice quite a bit. He's at games in the stands, like you mentioned. He's not doing road trips. You know, that was one of the things. He's like, I'm retired. I'm not sitting on that bus. I'm not. That's fine. He's, I don't know if you want to call it a consultant type of role, but I hate that word because he's just way more of a friend and a great colleague than a consultant would be. I think he's just, what boss, what former CEO retires from a company and then says, but I'm coming back. I want to make sure that this place thrives. I want you to do just as well as I did. And most people are like, retired, see you later. I'm going to go somewhere warm. I hope you fail. I hope this place tanks. There's a lot of that out there, no matter it's athletics or otherwise. And I just think it speaks to Kevin's character that he wants to see this place thrive. It's meant so much to him. I mean, this is his baby. And I'm thrilled because, again, I wanted to play for him. How unique and cool is it now that he gets to sit in my office, okay, I watched film. Here's what I saw. I get to ask him advice. And then I get to go call the shots at the end of the day. I mean, that I'm living my dream. I think Kevin is incredibly helpful, and he does it in all the right ways. He's not stepping on my toes. He's not talking over me at practice, even though he probably wants to sometimes because I'm saying things the different way that he would have. I think that what he's doing for us continues to just impact us greatly, and I'm really thankful.
Before we let you go, by the way, great journalism lesson there. You know something, you screw it up and ask the question wrong, and it gets a great answer anyway. That's proof. What I always say, it's not about the question, it's about the answer, because I knew that that was the scenario with you and Kevin. All right, speaking of coaches, before we get you ready for the NCAA tournament, you are married to a coach, you have a father-in-law as a coach. I live with a coach. I coached at a much, much lower level. She coaches gymnastics. I coached everything else in a very mediocre level. I am curious, though, what the dynamic is at home when there's two coaches in the house, because Rick obviously had a lot of success as a coach as well. I don't know if he doesn't have a technical title with you, but I know that he probably talks a lot of basketball with you and gives you a respite from basketball when you need one.
I think the title he uses is Director of Household Operations. I think that's the title he likes to use. My father was also a coach, and he coached us all the way through middle school. And he played at UW-Platteville. My brother played at UW-Platteville. There's a lot of basketball in our family and a lot of coaches on both sides. What is it like in home? Yeah, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better coach's husband than the one that I have. This job has a lot of highs and lows. There's a lot of it's in seasons. There's a season of the transfer portal and the stress of roster management. There's the off season time of summer, and it's all new, and you're kind of just you have a little bit more downtime, a little, and then you're back into fall again, and this season begins. Right, it's all in ebbs and flows. And then as the season goes on, you enjoy great wins and you enjoy really tough losses and disappointment and frustration and all the emotions. And I just think when you have a husband, a spouse who understands that truly, him, he coached for 10 years on the men's side, has been to multiple NCAA tournaments. He just knows. And there are times when I need a listening ear, I need a hug, I need a shoulder to cry on. And then there's times where I walk in the door and he's like, let's talk about your transition defense. And I'm like, I can't talk about it right now. I've hit my limit. I've been talking about it all day. And he gets that. And I, you know, we have a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old at home. So I think the beautiful part of that is they don't care whether you win or lose. You're still mom. They still love you. After hard losses, now my 6-year-old's starting to get it because he'll hug me and be like, why did you guys lose? And I'm like, yep, I know. That's hard one to explain. But most of the time they don't care. And so I walk in the door and it's chaos and fun with little kids for a couple hours to just like step away and get perspective. Then when they go to bed, then the coaching talks come back out again. He's incredibly helpful. He knows the game. He knows the job. He knows the industry. He even coached here at UW Green Bay, so mm-hmm. He knows this place. I'm really thankful to have him, and we're really thankful to have our villages of our parents. Mine are in Sheboygan, his are in Chilton, close by, because we have great support systems on both sides, and it's not always easy. But when you have really good people around you, family is where it starts, your team, your coaches, our community, right? When you have all the right people in place, it makes going through the really hard times worth it, because you can get through on the other side with good people.
And the kids don't have to ask about too many losses either when it comes to your program. All right, Kayla, before we let you go, Selection Sunday is right around the corner here. I know you guys are going to have a watch party of some sort. We obviously, this wildly, incredibly popular show, which your father-in-law got in on early, but lots of other people listen to as well, is popular in Green Bay. So if people want to come out and be there for Selection Sunday or to support the team, what does that look like? What do you guys have going on this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you the plan as of right now, and then I'm going to tell you what could happen. So right now, the plan, the show is Sunday night. It's at 7 o'clock Central Time. So what we're going to do is have a watch party at the bar down at Holmgren, and it's free and it's open to the public. Our team will be down there. We'll doors will be open well before that, but our team will be there for a short program starting about 6 o'clock. There will be some player interviews, coach interviews, some fun stuff where we just get to relive the season and come be a part of that. And then there will be a big screen obviously set up so that we can all watch a selection show together starting at 7 and then wait and find out when our name pops up, who and where we will play and when. At that point, we don't know anything before that. The caveat to it is, of course, it's Wisconsin and it's March, and so apparently we're getting this massive snowstorm. And so I just would advise people to follow our social media because that is the plan right now. And if anything changes, we will alert people on social media, and that's the best we can do. I really hope that our team gets to experience a watch party with tons of fans there because that's what they deserve. So, but we also have to be safe and be careful. So that's the plan right now. Either way, tune in on Sunday night to see Green Bay pop up.
Kayla, we're so glad that we were able to do this. We are a Packers-centric program. It takes a special person and a special program to change that. And you were more than worth our time. We appreciate you doing this. And I can't imagine how happy Dan and Rick are right now tuning in because I appreciate their loyalty to our show. Good luck in the tournament. Thanks so much.
Thank you. And thank you for supporting women's basketball. We appreciate you making the time for us. That's a big deal. So thank you so much. Go Phoenix.
All right. That is Coach Kayla Karius of UW Green Bay, and they are tournament bound again. I would just say this. I am very biased when it comes to women's sports with two female athletes and being married to one. There's that T-shirt that says everyone watches women's sports. I am aware that that's not always true. It is not. And there are some folks out there that want more discussion of Javon Hargrave. I understand that. We don't do that kind of thing very often, but I think it was time well spent. And if you, I don't know about you, Gabe, but I am always fascinated by listening to coaches, good ones and not good ones, because I think you learn a lot from being around both of them.
Sure.
You listen to her, and she, I'll be honest, she reminds me of Jeff Hafley. Like the way she talks about her players and the way she talks about culture. I can imagine why Jeff Hafley interviewed as well as he did and why he got the Dolphins job. I've seen her in action. She's good at what she does. She's great at what she does.
Maybe it's because of my affiliation with Marquette, but I was thinking of Shaka and what he does at Marquette.
Yep.
Now, obviously,
great
they
example.
Have a bigger budget to work with, you know, in terms of drawing players in. But what the thing he talks about the most is the relationships and people that are the right fit. And we got to see that yesterday. Nigel James Jr. named Big East Freshman of the Year, and he announces right then and there, no, I'm not transferring. Like, that never even crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. Because he has the relationship with Marquette University. And again, that sounds like the relationship she has with their players. Yeah, they probably obviously have a little bit of budget to spend that money, but they want to make sure that the fit is right. And that's how you build the culture, and that's how you end up going to the NCAA tournament in back-to-back years at UW Green Bay.
Well, that was fun. We appreciate her making time for us and making sure that we don't have a whole lot of time for Wonelli, which is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Clock management means we've only got a couple minutes for Wonelli.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Wonelli
on Wilde and Tausch.
Is conference tournament week? Oh, there's Kayla still. I forgot to put myself back up there. All right. Is
God, she's so dedicated that she's sticking around for Wo-Nelly.
Second segment. Yeah.
That is a still
get some
photo.
Takes out there.
This is not like when the Whitewater head football coach Jace Rindle joined us and was unexpectedly still here 10 minutes
that
later.
That was amazing, actually.
Conference tournaments underway. Today is really the big day. If you're a fan of conference tournament college basketball, every major conference has teams in action. Wisconsin at 1:30 this afternoon, which, by the way, if you want to join the watch party on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, I, along with many other ESPN Madison personalities, going to be watching the game, and you can join us for a second screen experience on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
You had me right up until the point where you said you were on.
Well, everyone else will be there too, so don't watch for me, watch for the others. We're going to have some fun watching the game, Wisconsin-Washington, with Tausch in attendance at 1:30 this afternoon. Do you believe conference tournament week is actually better than the opening round of the NCAA tournament next week?
I used to be in that camp when the old Big East existed. Like, when the old Big East still had Syracuse and, like, that tournament on ESPN with Billis and Raftery. Because, like, at that point, Bill Raftery didn't do NCAA tournament stuff. Like, it was the best broadcast team. It was the best games. Like, that old Big East, before everything blew up and some of those teams left to go chase more money in different conferences, that was my favorite basketball stretch of the college basketball year. It's kind of gone away from that, and honestly, with some of the talk around if Miami of Ohio doesn't win their conference tournament, they might be out despite winning, 31 games in a row. I'm starting to get more and more out on conference tournaments.
Wait a minute. That was like 2013.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Decade ago.
It's like a decade and a half ago that's been gone.
Yeah. That used to be my favorite part of the college basketball year, man. That was awesome.
Maybe
and they had the six overtime game. That six overtime game.
The Jerry McNamara year
Syracuse
was
unreal. God. Yeah, Jerry Mac. Ugh.
Yeah, I agree with what you said about the Big East tournament. The rest of the tournaments, though, like, I always feel like there's this weird, for years, there's this weird balancing act between win some, but don't play four games in 4 days right before you're playing in the NCAA tournament vibe to them. Like as a fan, you kind of don't want your team to do well if it doesn't have to? Am I wrong sure. to view it that way?
No, because there are some thoughts like that out there, right? That, oh, if we get upset in the first round, it's not because basketball can be random sometimes. It's because right. we played three games in 3 days and now we're tired. It's just a built-in excuse for one of those things. Now, I do feel like I feel for programs like GB, like UW Green Bay, because the amount of pressure, as good as you are, like, you have to win your conference tournament.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Green Bay is not playing, and like, that's a lot of pressure, and that can be, especially at the lower levels, a lot of fun to see how those teams play under that type of pressure.
So that I agree with, and I want to get out so we get to Rich Eisen on time and I can brag about that to Tausch. I would add this. I think both conference tournaments and the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament now, I agree with you on the lower level conferences that pressure is on, because those games are, I do enjoy those. But I feel like with NIL and the transfer portal, like, last year was very chalky in the tournament. And one of the things I love about that wall-to-wall basketball Thursday, Friday in the first round were the upsets and the unexpected moments.
Anything could happen, yeah.
Yeah, and it just doesn't feel like it's that way anymore. There's a really good story on ESPN.com earlier this week about that. It was very analytical in its approach. I feel like I've lost my love of college. This used to be my favorite sporting event, was the NCAA tournament. And now I don't feel as passionately about it as I did. I know it's sad. What is not sad is that the show's almost over, because that means we'll get out on time, sort of, for Rich Eisen. We'll wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Hey, this is Rich Eisen. Coming up Thursday, March Madness is almost here. Who's cutting down the nets? ESPN bracketologist Joe Lenardi joins us, plus the latest from around the rest of the sports world. That's Thursday, Disney+, the ESPN app, and ESPN Radio.
It's over. Go home. Thanks to Kayla Carius. But more importantly, as good as she was, thanks to Gabe Neitzel, our cousin sub of the day.
Oh, anytime.
Cousin subs. We believe in better.
Love being here.
Cool. I will talk to you tomorrow on your show. And then hopefully on Sunday, your flight will depart for Vegas.
I think I'm going to get lucky that I'm flying out of Chicago for this flight. Because I think it's not as bad the further south you get. It looks like, I just saw a weather map from the Weather Channel, Jason. I think you're screwed no matter what up in Green Bay.
Great. Might have to actually use the snowblower for the first time in history.
Yeah!
That's it for us today. I need to figure out how to use it first. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch? Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.